Philip or nominate you with your work for the Iran, like I said.
We need to get a nomination for the board.
Will we do it right before our drawing?
We should do it now.
We should do it now, okay.
Pinya?
Man, the board is taken. One mark, you go. Clear it, please.
You want to draw this later, though? Go, we can lock it, we can lock it. No, no.
They're all gonna come to the meeting tomorrow, the day tomorrow, too, don't they?
Naga, Ublakun, Panna. William, explain all around the piece. William, you want to explain what Nan is going to be involved in trying to improve the human bed?
In the pair of Naptima, Miki Rudami. Unnova, PHC, Stubborn Naptisi. Asi, Smali Naptisi, Uvalakunlu. You're going to do the work. This is going to be a little different than other meetings that we've had before. In the past, when we had our informal shareholders meeting, we usually just gave you numbers, right? We talked about the businesses, and we talked about all the numbers in a lot of detail. And business is important. I mean, the man of business is important because we have to make the profits in order to keep the land that we fought for. So it is important, and we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to make sure that the businesses are run right and that they're profitable. And we try to employ as many of our people as possible. And that we have to do all the time. We cannot stop doing as good as we can in that. But what we want to do is talk to you about what we've been doing and what's been happening for over quite a long period of time and see if you agree. If you don't agree, you tell us. But if you do agree with what we see and the solutions we have proposed, then we can work together on the problem. But let me see if I could sort of bring you from the past up to today. And I'm going to go way past the last. So that we understand where our area fits. When the white people came from Europe, they came to the east coast of the United States. That's about 300 years ago. Well, when they got here, there was already people there. But they were coming from some bad conditions in Europe, so America was not too bad a place. Over there, they had no land because all the land was given away to the kings and their relatives. And the only thing they could look forward to was a life of hard work, of planting something and paying rent to the person who owned the land. And so, and they came for all kinds of reasons, but the truth is, it took almost 300 years for the Lenape to finally take the Indian land. And they did it in all kinds of ways, by war, And sometimes the land was given to them by treaty, by an agreement. And so they went from one end of the country to the other. And the Indians, they tried to fight to keep their land, and they tried to keep their way of life. But they lost. And so they ended up with only 50 million acres of land today, out of the whole continent. They lost everything. And they've been even trying to keep their language, and they try to keep their people alive, their history. And when we came, by the time we come to Alaska, well, the Russians got a late start, but they were the first to come over. They got here in about 1740, 41. And within 50 years, they had taken the Aleutian area between the 1740s and the late 1700s. They came primarily for economic reasons. They wanted to make money. And they were doing it by getting furs, the sea otter. And they went from island to island to island. And they, within about 125 years, 90% of the Aleuts were dead. They made them slaves, practically. They made them hunt for them. And they used the Aleuts against the Clinkets to take control of the Prince William Sound, Yakutat, Sitka. Those Aleuts were good Kayaktuk. You know, they had two-man kayaks, and they were good hunters. So they used them to hunt the furs. Well, they took all the fur from the Aleutians down to California. And at the same time, the Aleuts pretty much were destroyed. From about 20,000, by around 1900, there might have been 1,200 or 1,500 left. And after that, of course, we had the whaling that began in the 1800s. And it was primarily Boston whalers, and they used to winter in Hawaii. And they'd come up in the spring, and for 30 or 40 years, they hunted whale. The very same whale that our own people hunted along the coast, up north. And then when they started wiping out the whale, they started taking the walrus because it was business. They had to make a profit. And they got the walrus to help make the trip pay. And in the same time, they brought booze so they could trade with the natives so they could make more money. And that was killing our people as well. Because they weren't spending their time hunting and getting ready for winter. And at the same time, of course, those same ships, they brought diseases, and our people were dying to the point where overall throughout Alaska, the Eskimo and Indian lost about half their population. We are just now reaching the number of people we had when the white people first came. It's taken that long to build up our population again. So, and that goes back over quite a long period of time. Anyway, when the Russians left, of course, they sold Alaska to the United States, and they didn't even own it, because they had never even been. The only thing the Russians did was where they had forts, where they had some friends. But nevertheless, the United States bought Alaska. And what we did, when we finally realized what was going on, of course the Indians in southeast Alaska, you know, they fought for the land, but they only fought in court. And they spent 35 years in court, and they got $7 million for all of southeast Alaska. Until we started again in 1966, when we formed the Alaska Federation of Natives, and that's the same year we formed NANA, the Northwest Alaska Native Association. But we knew that we had to do something, because otherwise the new state was going to sell us the land, and what was going to happen to us? There was no way that the United States government was just going to give the land. So we had to try to figure out a way to save as much of our land as possible. And that's when we formed NANA. And we also formed NANA not just to try to get the land, but to try to improve the village, you know, villages, our village lives. We went after, well, all the things that you got here, you know. You know, all the things that we got, we had to fight for politically, right? I mean, electricity, then the sewer water, then the housing, then the high schools. Everything that we've got here, we had to go and fight to get. Because we thought that you wanted it. We still think you did. But at the same time, we began to see that we weren't really solving the problems. I mean, after we set up NANA, we went and got the land, we fought for 5 years, all of the native people, and we formed NANA. But we didn't get the tribal government, like the Indians got. When the Indians settled with the federal government, they ended up with these tribes that were just like tribes. They had their own rules, they had their own elected people. They had their own courts, they had their own police, you know, and they were different. They're different than the rest of America because it was done by law, by treaty, or by law. But the Congress would not give us governments. And the truth of it is we never fought that hard for government because we knew we couldn't get it. Because Senator Jackson and Congressman Aspinall and others, they figured that it didn't work because they never got rid of the Indians. The Indians were still there. They still had their tribal government. They still had their reservation land. And they didn't mix right in with the rest of America, which is what America was good at. Because they took people from France and from Europe and from Germany and from Ireland and from everywhere, and they made a new person out of it, an American. A different language, a different value system. Well, so we knew we couldn't get governments. So what we ended up with was a company that you belong to. It's your company. It's not NANA over there. It's you. You own shares in it. Well, before, the Indians, when they enrolled in the tribe, they were a member of the tribe. You know, they were just governed by them. In our case here, you're a member of a business. We got no governmental power. See, it's a very narrow responsibility. But so we went into business. We bought businesses, we started businesses, we merged companies, we had lawsuits, we started tending to business. But the problem was we had nobody responsible for our tribe. You know, for our people's survival, for our language, for our history, for our Inupiat ways. So when we turned around and started looking, well, we had more problems than we did when we started. Our people were dying. They're committing suicide. They're not staying in school. We got violence. We got family breakup. We got all kinds of problems that they have out there. So we weren't going forward. I mean, things were better. I mean, you got lots of things. You got light, you don't have to go pump up the stove. You got all kinds of things, but the important things were, it wasn't getting better. And so we started to think about it. Even income-wise, we probably weren't better off than we were 10 or 15 years ago, because we had so many more expenses. Anyway, we saw that the kids weren't finishing school. They're going through high school. We got high school, but they're not going through college and finishing. So at the same time, they can't do NAM on the land because they don't want to holler. And on the other hand, they're not allowing me enough to make a living as a businessman or a construction owner, you know. You don't have enough skills to get the job. We have been creating corporations, school districts, non-profit corporations, but we create jobs for everybody else. So what are we going to do? Well, we started trying to, but it's not just us. That doesn't make it any better. But. Well, a couple of years ago, I started trying to think about what we've been doing for all these years. And all that we tried to do to help the things were getting worse. And so, last year, we brought all of the native leaders from the rest of the state to Cox a year ago in June. And what we began to see was that even our leaders were confused because they were heading up businesses and heading up nonprofit corporations and doing this and doing that, but they're just worried about budgets, and they're worried about that bureaucratic problem or this or that. And they were ignoring the real problems of our people. So we brought them to Cox and tried to say, hey, you're not living for the job. You should be living for your people and trying to help your people. Then we went to Chena Hot Springs and we did the same thing. Tried to get people to think about what they were doing instead of shuffling papers from here to there and this to that. And so we ended up at the AFM convention with the theme being Pride, Spirit, and Strength. We were trying to get away from just looking at businesses, you know, which all the corporation leaders had been concentrating on. And so in this last winter, we talked in our NANA board because, in a way, the NANA board is kind of like your tribal leadership. What we ended up with in government was, because of the government, was we ended up with a corporation that deals with money, you know? And then we ended up with the state government or municipal government. None of those are our things, right? We got city government, and we got business corporations, but they're not any bad entities. That's something somebody gave us to try to use. And so, who is responsible for the effect? I mean, who's going to try to pass on the INIFAT language and INIFAT ways? So, when we started talking about this last winter, we knew that if we didn't want the INIFAT people to survive, the thing to do was nothing. Because everything the way it's going, we will not be. The INIFAT spirit will disintegrate, much less the language or the history or the knowledge of the land. But if we think that's important, then we have things to do. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. We've done some things right. I mean, like the elders' conferences were important. They were important for the preservation of that knowledge. And I think the older people, they know. They know what's been happening. I think they're waiting for us to come to our senses. But they didn't kick us and say, hey, what about this? You know, and we tried to do it sort of on our own with no guidance. For how long? We could run the politics of the business. But when it comes to saving our people, that's your job. And we'll help. But some of us are too far gone to, you know, to do too much about it. All we can do is try to help show a way to go. But we're not saying that we're going to go back. We're going to go back, like some people try to say. We think that the only way we can go forward is through the unity we can get in our Inupiaq way. And when we talk about those Inupiaq values that we are, that help our people survive all this time, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, there are still good values that make people good. There is a date, 1991, that's in the Settlement Act. And that's when that stock that you own, that paper that you own, that says you own stock in that, it's going to be possible for you to sell it. And you see, if we play the game like Congress intended, if we think that our Inupiaq heritage is something that we can sell for money, then we're not going to save that unless it's more than just business. And where's my graph? Maybe this will help you to maybe this will help. You can't see it very well, but this graph I think helps tell you what's in our head. This says Inupiaq knowledge, identity, or what we call Inupiaq Ilitkuset. What we've been doing for several years now, for 10 years, is we've been concentrating on this part of life. We've been doing business. But you know, business is, it can become like a god too. You know, if you spend so much time making money, you'll forget your family, your kids, your relatives, you know. You'll forget everything else and you'll be busy doing that. Well, in the final, in the end, what have you got? Just me. Right? So, we don't think that's the way to go. We know that people gotta make a living. You know, people gotta survive. I mean, hunting, you know, this is like hunting. You know, either you go out and hunt your food and get it, save it, pass it to your friends and relatives, you know, or you work for a living, you know, for money, right? You're either, you're out doing something. You're either writing a book or you're digging a hole or you're doing something. That's the business part of life. You know? We've also been doing a lot of politics, you know, trying to go out there and get something. That's the American way. Both of these are. You know, you go out and you, when you go to Juneau or Washington, you're trying to take a big piece of pie that's a bunch of money and you're trying to get as much as you can for your people. So you go fight for it. It's a battle for it. That's how we went and got the land. We went to Washington and we had to fight for it. They weren't going to give it to us. Or if you're involved in education, over here, that can become just a goal in itself. Educated, but you know, for what? In what time? For what kind of life? So we think that in the middle of all this, in order to have the right view about what to do in all this, you've got to know who you are. You know, you're an Inupiaq. How are you going to do, you know, if you're going out into politics to try to fight for your people, what are you going to fight for unless you know who you are first? So, central to all of what we're trying to do is we need to keep our Inupiaq unity. Otherwise, we're going to go all our separate ways and there will no longer be Inupiaq people. We'll just be flesh and bones, you know, with no Inupiaq unity. And what we'd like to do in our region is we have all of the organizations that are working in this area. The school district, NANA, and Manila, during the course of our meetings in the past, we have all adopted a resolution, the boards of directors have, some of you heard it on the radio, where we've dedicated
our energy to ensure the survival of our Inuka people and the values of the Inuka, which when we go into them, you will see are not just values for our people. They should be values for all people because they're good. And while we're here, you know, we're going to see how you people feel about this and what we can do. If it's important, if our Inupiat values, our Inupiat spirit is going to survive, our Inupiat language, how are we going to do it? And is it worth saving? Now we have the other option of not doing anything. But you see what's happened now, things are worse than they were before. I think that's all I'm going to say, and if you have any questions, I could try to answer. I think Roland and Alfred will maybe explain to you in your language, in our language, you know, and maybe give you, tell you how they feel about what we're trying to do.
A couple of things. I think we'll take a break before we go on here. We got a gentleman here from the Vocational Technical Center. I forgot your name already. But wants to introduce himself to you and tell you what he wants to do with you tomorrow or whatever.
I'm Don Morgan. I'm with the Council of Technical there that we're going to be opening up next fall. And we're going to be offering some courses beginning in January. And our courses are going to be in secondary training, welding, carpentry, small engine mechanics, and other different trades and vocations that
in English. So we said, why don't you try sometimes to make preach in English, the best that you know how? And that is very hard for some of our older pastors. And I'm sure Pauline can vouch for me as far as that's concerned. That portion of it is. And it is true. A lot of our younger people are losing the language. Well, it's not so much that they are not even. You can look at them from the outside and tell that they are Inuka. You can also see, certainly they write, when they fill out a piece of paper, it says an Eskimo, your nationality, an Eskimo, or Inuka. Where from? Probably Cayenne. That's okay. But when our values as an Inuka are concerned, there is a difference there. There is certainly a gap between the younger generation and the older generation. It's not so much that our older people are hard to understand. Well, that's bad enough in itself. Or our younger people trying to understand our older people, or the older people trying to understand the younger people. That's bad enough just by itself. But when you're divided by two languages, the Inupiat language and the white man's language, that makes it even harder. So after a while, our grandma is trying to accommodate their grandson or granddaughter by trying to speak in broken English, trying to adapt to a foreign language, to please or to communicate with their grandson or granddaughter, which in turn does not know the language. So this became some of our problems as far as our communication is concerned. And that is why today, you know, as far as NANA is concerned, as far as the business is concerned, Everything will look okay. We have always come to our annual meetings asking our people as to what might be the problem this year. What is it that we, the Nana staff, when presented with a problem, then we go ahead out to find, try to find a solution. They would go directly to the politicians, they address some of these things before the Nana meetings and try to find solutions to some of these problems. And you know, sometimes they find solution to them and present it with some of the, what they thought is a solution. That's why we have Manila right now. Manila Association. That has developed over the time to service our e-value, to help them as far as the human services are concerned. Because there were some problems, then Manila were addressed with those problems to solve within our area, within our region. But you know, Manila has been there for some time. Now we're also recognizing that Manila, for some reason, is not communicating or solving some of these problems. So Willie and John has been troubled with this very problem for some periods of time. So they came to me also to see what they have come up with, the idea that Willie had. If it's completely foreign, or if it's completely odd or different, or should we even present it to our people? Should we even address it? Is it the right thing? So all through last year, through the most part of last year, it was discussed, it was presented to the elders during the elders conference. He said, look, we have problems within our region. There have been suicides and accidents and all these things are multiplying within our region. There are some problems that we need to directly address as Inupiaqs. Why is it that our very people in a small community being faced with some of these problems? What can we do? Where's the answer? We've always looked to the government to find aid, that they can hire somebody, a specialist, to come in to look at us, to study us, to find what's wrong with us. And we've always accepted that over a long period of time. You know, a lot of times, they'd always say, relax, take a couple of pills, go home and lay down for a while. But the problem still persists through today. We still got some businesses that are still running. You know, John was saying down in Irving, out of some 500 jobs that Nana has created, there's only about 150 of them that are held by our shareholders. That's not very many. I know jobs is one of the problems, and that's always been given to the staff. They've always said that's one of our problems. We need jobs. So they, in turn, would seek jobs. We've got joint ventures with some companies that do create some jobs. But you know, for some reason, every time some job opening does open, we'd call on our shareholder and they'd go out to the job and they'd stay there for 1 month, 2 months, and something would call them back. So they'd quit their job and go on home. And that was our percentage. That was Nana's percentage within that company. That was Nana's quota within that company that that person was holding. If Nana, out of those 100 people, had 30 people working within that company, if that one person quit, there'd be 29 persons left. And our percentage within that company would have declined by that one person. And you know, where do you think that one person is the replacement? Do you think they come back to another year back to, okay, fulfill that job? And look at what was happening. When a job begins, when a job opens, we all know that it always has to be completed. And when it's a construction job, there's always a timetable when the day that it's supposed to be completed. Otherwise, that construction company would have lost the money if they didn't complete it at a certain day. They would have lost the property. So once a person quits, it's to their benefit that they replace that person as quickly as possible. And it doesn't always be another new path that is hired. So we're faced with this problem. As fast as we create jobs and put some of our shareholders into those jobs, they just stick to that job just for a short period of time, maybe long enough to pay some of their pressing bills. And they head back and go right back to where they were again. And they come back to us again. We need jobs. And some more jobs. And some more jobs. We give them jobs. They hold on to their job for a little while. And they come back and holler some more for some more jobs. So we're just kind of going around in circles here. Where is the problem? And that is why we are coming around to get people involved in what Willie has just discussed a little while ago. We can place everybody in our businesses from the outside. And all we will be receiving is, as that paper shows, whatever that is coming to us. Maybe every year we'll be expecting a portion of our share because something along is running our business and we expect profit from it. And that's all we'll be expecting. But you know, we don't feel good about that. We don't feel right about that because that is our business. NANA is a native corporation. And we always feel that it should be run by natives. And we always think that natives ought to get themselves educated to begin to run those. And that's still our feeling today. And we'd like to convey that to all of you. The ones that are still in school, continue to get educated where they can get some degrees where they can begin to run these jobs that are in now. And how can we make these people to commit themselves so they feel good about themselves and not to just quit midway in their school years and not help their people? I say their people. Maybe they don't belong to anybody already. But you know, as far as you're concerned today, if you're presently an Inupiaq and a shareholder in NANA, your shares might be in jeopardy. There might be some problems if you don't get concerned here pretty soon about those shares of yours. There's no dollar value as far as your shares are concerned. But every time that our NANA Corporation makes a profit, according to your 200 shares, then you're prorated so much money and given a dividend. And again this year, there's a certain portion of our retail earnings that will be going back to you. Maybe some years our company won't make a profit and you'll decide to fire everybody over here and get somebody else, I don't know. But hopefully before that happens, everybody that is an Inupiaq and a shareholder would become excited about their corporation and to continue in their education. You as a parent would tell your child to stick it out in school, encourage them to continue in school. Those of you that have already quit would get excited about something like this, to continue in a certain way to educate yourself in an impact way, to study the cultures of your native heritage, what your parents had to go through, learning to sew and to learn the native crafts. And I kind of like what John kind of addressed last night as he was presenting his, he said to, well, maybe I shouldn't take that away from that.
No, go ahead.
Let him keep that going. I'm not doing this. Well, anyway, going back to this very picture, you know, NANA's got business. And that's just one end of the circle here. And certainly we all get educated, and this is an educational facility. And it'll be here as the Lord carries. It'll continue to stay here. As long as the state continues to fund this school system. As long as our government system functions, this state-faithful building will still be for some time yet. And we do have advisory school boards in all of our villages. And pretty much most all of them were supposed to be from the community, and our community is supposed to be in your back, right? And all of those youth are supposed to be in that advisory school board. And they should have some commitment to the school board and have some commitment about the quality of the education that their children are getting and get involved. Why should they get involved? Get committed so their children get a quality of education they think is good. And that's just one portion of that. And the other portion is politics. We all play politics to a certain degree. All of us do every so often. Well, maybe tomorrow we'll play a little part of that again. When you, all of you, as shareholders of Payan, again, select one of your people from this very, very city of yours, another shareholder, to seat to the board. You play politics and so often. And that person, all persons, whoever they are, have to be committed to our manner, your manner, to be elected into that board. And that is an important, very important job, being a manner board. Because as those figures shows, we're playing around. No, I'm not, well, I shouldn't say play around. That's kind of a wrong word to say, I guess. But we're dealing with all their monies as shareholders. And once that person is elected to the board, that person has the voice within that board to commit some of your funds to certain jobs or whatever the business that Nana might want to get into. So that is very important.